Welcome to Local Share Green Action Podcast. This show is produced by Go Green Locally, a 501c3 nonprofit providing tools and resources for people that are looking for ways to take even more successful local action that makes a difference for our people and our planet. Very excited to be speaking with someone who started as a student at a university where she ended up founding their recycling program and becoming their very first sustainability coordinator. I'm speaking with Tara Pike, the founder of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, UNLV's Rebel Recycling Program, which she launched in 1995. Tara launched the Rebel Recycling Program after completing her undergraduate senior thesis on the feasibility of developing a recycling program at UNLV as part of her environmental studies biology degree. In 2009, she was appointed UNLV's first sustainability coordinator, expanding her leadership role and advancing campus-wide sustainability initiatives. Tara has also contributed extensively to sustainability efforts across Southern Nevada. She served as the Clark County Recycling Advisory Committee in 2006 and 2007, helping to propose the Enhanced Curbside Recycling Pilot Program. This initiative ultimately improved curbside recycling services in Northern Las Vegas, Henderson, and unincorporated Clark County. She is currently in her 13th year as chair of the Southern Nevada Christmas Tree Recycling Committee, where she has been an active member for 27 years. Nationally, she is in her 15th year as a board member of the campus Race to Zero Waste and currently serves as vice president. She also serves locally as a board member for the Gil Reese Orchard, now in her fourth year of service. Tara, welcome to our show. It's so nice to be able to speak with you today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I'm excited to find out more about your path of eco action that led you to become a sustainability coordinator and all-around sustainability champion for UNLV and other initiatives in Las Vegas and beyond. So my first question is, what planted the seeds for you to start taking sustainability eco action initially?
I have always felt a deep sense of responsibility for animals, the environment, and other people. So I think it's that deep sense of responsibility that kind of got me to want to make a difference for the environment, which ultimately is a difference for humans and animals. Growing up, we did a lot of recycling. And then when I came to UNLV, I actually wanted to be a journalist and I wanted to expose the evils of the world through investigative journalism. But I got disillusioned by the whole journalistic journey. And that's when I found the Environmental Studies program, which was a new academic degree program at UNLV at the time.
Oh, excellent. So it was new, so environmental science was new at that time?
So it was a new degree that you could get, and it's called environmental studies. Okay. And it had different emphases. So you could actually do an emphasis in biology, which is conservation biology, or you could have an emphasis in education or an emphasis in journalism. So it was a very broad and diverse degree program.
Excellent. Excellent. That's actually what a great course, because I think it's probably a little bit more decompartmentalized right now, so that it's difficult to know what you want exactly to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as a student studying environmental science and biology, did you originally have a different idea? I know that you thought about going into journalism, but what maybe inspired you to do your senior thesis on implementing a recycling program?
Yeah, so I actually wanted to be a wolf biologist, a wolf conservationist. So I was taking biology to pursue that. And then I had started an environmental student group on campus called SCOPE, Students Conscious of Protecting the Environment. And we had three things that we were focusing on. We were focusing on advocating that UNLV start a recycling program because at the time there wasn't one. We were focusing on fundraising money so that we could convert areas of turf or grass to desert landscaping to save water. And then our political project was reauthorization of the Endangered Species Act. It was up for reauthorization in 1992, and we were lobbying our congressional representatives to put forward a bill that would make the Endangered Species Act stronger. And so that was for all of the people in our student organization that wanted to do activism. So we had the campus ecology and we had the activism. And when it became time to choose a undergraduate thesis project or a senior project, which was required to get your degree in environmental studies, I chose to research what other campuses were doing with their recycling program, and I did waste audits. But basically, the idea was, what would it take for UNLV to implement a recycling program? And then, of course, becoming a wolf biologist, what wasn't in the cards anymore, because once I got the undergraduate thesis done, I sent a proposal to the Board of Regents, which is the governing body for higher education in Nevada, and they voted yes to start the program. And now I've been here for 31 years. So,
That's really impressive. Really impressive. Especially that it started back when maybe, yeah, that was just a very novel idea.
Yeah, actually, we started advocating for recycling, I want to say in 91, and curbside recycling didn't even start in Southern Nevada until 1992.
Wow. I was very impressed to hear a presentation that you offered recently. And from what I heard, your programs are at UNLV are covering just a lot of different great solutions on your campus. Could you tell us about some of these different programs that are being implemented there?
Absolutely. Some of the waste reduction and recycling ones are that we have a library card system. It's not really obviously books, but it's checking out reusable to-go containers at our dining commons. So they're washable to-go containers. We also have washable fountain cups. And you scan the barcode with your app. Now you've checked out those items. You go and get your food, you take the reusable container to go, and then when you come back to the dining commons, you return that reusable container and it gets washed and you check out a new one. And so that reduces a lot of single-use disposable styrofoam or plastic or even paper. When you have 1,500 students living on campus that potentially are getting items to go all the time, it does over the course of a month and a semester and a year, it reduces a lot of waste and saves money. We have hydration stations on campus, and that's so students can safely fill up their reusable, washable containers, reducing single-use disposable plastic water bottles. We just launched our UNLV Rebel Cap. I have my shirt on. That's our climate action plan. And from the climate action plan, I think we're going to see a lot of progress on things happening on campus to save energy, save water. And we just keep trying to move ahead on different ideas. We are launching an app called Au Marché, which is like a UNLV specific Facebook marketplace or Craigslist. You have to be a member of the campus community to sign up, and it allows you to post items that you no longer want so that other people can get them either for free or if you want to charge, you can. But it just gives us like a campus specific circular economy community. UNLV has electric car charging stations. We're going to be adding more, just lots of different programs that benefit the campus community environmentally, economically, socially.
I love that. And the Au Marché program, is it actually a Facebook page where you're designating yourself as it, or
It's an
actually
app.
it's an app?
It's
Okay.
an app. Yep.
I love
Yep.
that.
We have a couple sustainability related apps. That's the world we live in now.
Yeah, no, but that's great. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's such a big savings. And I know, I think there was the thing about you keep boxes in your dorm areas for people that are like getting rid of stuff and food items, things they're not going to need, which I thought was great too.
Yeah, that's our, we have a move in and a move out program for the students who live in the residence halls. So when they move in, we put out extra cardboard dumpsters to collect all the cardboard that they're generating from moving and then buying stuff to decorate their dorms. And then when they move out, they have a bunch of stuff that they can't either fit in their car or obviously suit their suitcase that they need to get rid of. And instead of it going to landfill, we put boxes on each floor where they can donate their clothing, their bedding, their toys, their shoes, whatever. And then we have another box where they can donate non-perishable food items that they didn't open. And then another box for their gently used cleaning products and their unused hygiene products. And then we get all of that, those items back out to the community. So, like, a lot of the linens we donate to animal rescues. We have different places that take the food and the cleaning products. So we try to get those items back out to be used for their purpose, intended purpose, before they end up in a landfill eventually. But yeah, it's just creating that circular economy.
I love that. Yeah, and I think you already brought it up a little bit, but I just like to highlight it, is that do you know like how much savings the university has gained over time just reducing the amount of takeout trash and things like that? Because I would imagine that adds up over time.
That does add up over time for sure. I do not know how much our dining contractor saves in not having to purchase disposable single-use items. I would assume it's very significant amount of money. I do know that when you're talking about the residence hall move out, you're reducing the amount of roll-off dumpsters that are required for people to move out. I do not know how many dumpsters would get filled if we just allowed all of those reusable items to go into the landfill. This past year, it was about 7.5 tons of material that we got from the residence hall move out program and put back into the community. Our highest year ever was 12 tons. And that was because back then, the residence halls, the beds were on the ground. And so the students would go out and buy cinder blocks and put them under the legs of the bed to lift the bed up off the ground so they could store stuff under the bed. And we collected just so many pallets of cinder blocks that year. It was amazing. But yeah, I think that we have a program called All in the Hall where there are no garbage cans inside the classrooms. So when you take a class in that particular building, you have to take your trash or recycling with you to the hallway. And when I did my pre-audit for that, they were using 36 can liners a day. And a lot of them had one item in them or two items in them. And with All in the Hall, they're using about 16 can liners a day. That's a significant drop in the amount of can liners that are going to have to be purchased by our custodial department. And recycling went up, and we get less contamination of our recycle bins due to the All in the Hall system and the signage on the bins. So all around, just a great program that I hope we expand across the campus.
That's a great idea, and I don't think most people would think about that aspect of all that plastic that you just reduced.
And purchasing.
Then, does your university do anything with like food scraps, or is there?
Yeah, we have been collecting food scraps since May of 2009, and they initially went to land-based composting, but when that closed in, I want to say 2014, like April-ish of 2014, we started sending the food scraps to Las Vegas Livestock, which is the pig farm in Southern Nevada, and that is where currently all of our food scraps go, and that is probably, I would say, around 165 tons a year of food waste. And our dining contractor does have a program to try to reduce food waste. So they use a program called Lean Path. You have to look at it from both ends. Obviously, 165 tons is a lot of food waste, but they are trying not to have that much food waste as well.
Yeah, and some of that is from like in preparation, right?
Yes, there's
Canopy,
all the
things like that.
preparation. So most of that is preparation. Our dining commons is the one place that we collect post-consumer food waste, which is obviously the food waste that the patrons, the clients have, or the students have. And that's because our dining commons, when you're done with your plate of hopefully empty plate. You put it on the conveyor belt and it goes to the back and they scrape it. So we do get post-consumer food waste from that particular dining establishment.
That's a really good idea too. And that means they're using reusable plates
Yes.
and things in the. I love
The
that.
Dining Commons uses all reusable silverware, cups, plates, bowls, and then it is trayless. So that's very important because if you have a tray, people tend to take more than they actually can eat. In this system, no tray means you
No
get a
tray.
plate, you go, you sit down, you eat. If you're still hungry, you get up and you go get more. It's a better way to reduce food waste
That's a good
to
idea.
be trayless.
I don't think most people would think about that aspect of no tray, less waste.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's a
great.
very important way to reduce food waste.
Yeah, sure. You have played a major role in initiatives beyond UNFV, like the curbside recycling improvements in Clark County and the Christmas tree recycling program. What have you found to be the most effective ways to inspire lasting community-wide participation in those sustainability programs?
I think convenience is a big factor in whether people participate in a environmental initiative. So with the enhanced curbside recycling program, if you were here before the enhanced curbside recycling program, we had red, white, and blue crates, right? They were little. You put your stuff in and then you had to carry three crates or more out to the curb. If the wind blew, now it's blowing your stuff all over the place. It was every other week. Okay, recycling picked up every other week. If you forgot to put it out, now you have to wait 2 weeks before you can recycle again. And that is not convenient. None of that is convenient. The enhanced curbside program, recycling went from every other week to every week. And now you commingle it into a toter that has a lid, so your stuff's not blowing around the neighborhood and you don't feel obligated to go pick it all up. And then every week is obviously a lot more convenient than every other week. In terms of the Christmas tree recycling program, we have 30 locations for drop-off, trying to make it as convenient as possible. Obviously, putting a dead tree into your car is a lot different than the live tree, but we did partner with one of the waste removal, junk removal companies in town. And so they have a really reduced price to pick up your tree. So I think it's like $25 to come get your tree and take it for you to a drop-off. For a while, we had the Boy Scouts helping with that, but that became just too big of a project for the Boy Scouts. But yeah, I think convenience is the main thing, is I want to believe that if it's convenient enough, that everyone will do it.
And do you like put flyers in the, let's say, utility bills kind of thing where they're paying for sewer and whatever trash bill?
We used to do that, but I don't know how many people A, get a bill anymore, or B, read them. We don't do that as much anymore, but we do have a lot of partners on the Christmas tree recycling committee that do blast it out as to as many people as possible. I think in this day and age, getting information out to people is more and more difficult because they're inundated with information every single day. Yes, I think just humans spreading the word to each other is the best way to do it. And
And
we collect about, on average, 15,000 trees per year.
you're
So
not doing
our
bad.
biggest year was 20,000, just over 20,000 trees, and we average about 15,000 trees. And that we mulch, the trees get mulched, and then the mulch is used in our parks and school gardens.
Nice. Nice. I love that. And so do you also get out the word like how do you get out the word within the campus, just things, or is it pretty much as you're walking through the campus, you figure it out, the different sustainability kinds of things? Or do you do an educational process when they first start the school year?
That again is also very difficult. There is orientation for incoming students, and that is run by a different department, and they have a lot of information to get out to the students as well. So I think they mentioned sustainability, but again, it's jam-packed with information for incoming students. So we do have the recycling center is part of facilities management, which is part of business affairs. And business affairs has a communications team, and I work very closely with them to get the word out as much as possible. For instance, we're spreading the word about OMARCHE right now, the app, and pretty soon we'll be putting out some information about Rebel Recycling's 30th anniversary, because this is our 30th birthday year, and we did some all in the hall pushouts. So I just work with that communications team, and they help to get it out onto campus.
Excellent. Excellent. So, what skills have you brought to your work that may never show up on your resume, but have really helped you to become successful?
I think that one of the big things about sustainability is that building partnerships is really important. Collaboration is very important. And you are, we call sustainability coordinators change makers, right? And in order to make change, you have to have a coalition, you have to have a team. And so I think that's one of the most powerful ways to get things done. And sustainability touches all parts of a campus, right? So you're talking about the purchasing department, the transportation, academics and research is involved in sustainability, right? We want to encourage research in environmental issues, right? So it really does cover almost every part of this campus. And one person cannot do it all. And so I think that working with others and harnessing their knowledge, their expertise is really important.
So, have there been specific things that, like, if other people were trying to do this on their campus, ways that you would suggest initiating those kinds of collaborations? Are there facility or faculty kinds of meetings or presentations that you are able to interact more easily with other departments over time?
Yeah, I think that if a students have a lot of power. I think that students don't realize that, but they're the clients of a university, they're the customers. So if they want to see something change on a campus, they just have to start being vocal about it, and that will do it. Or reach out to their student government and engage their student government in what they would like to see changed. I always say that look at the stars. You might want to do like a whole bunch of things, right? You want to see all these changes, but you really got to narrow in and focus. You got to focus on just a couple things that you think you can change, right? And really work on those. And then after you get those accomplished, move on to the next idea. I think sometimes movements fail because they're trying to do too much at once. So each campus is different, and so a student or a faculty member or a staff member that would like to see change in a certain direction needs to look at what is doable and just keep moving towards that goal. And then once they achieve that, start moving towards the next goal. I have tons of ideas, but I have to a lot of times edit myself and say, what is possible? What can we get done?
Excellent. You mentioned an organization that helps sustainability programs evaluate and guide where they are in their progress in the presentation that I heard before, and also helps them improve themselves and strive to go further. Also, that you defined in that presentation that you're not competing against each other, you're really competing against yourselves too. And please tell me about a little bit about that organization.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. There are two. There's one that all the campuses have been using for quite some time, I would say since probably the mid to 2010s, and that's ASHE STARS. ASHE is the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. So it's an organization, membership organization, and they created something called STARS, which is the Sustainability Tracking Assessment and Rating System. It's basically a big, huge survey that campuses fill out where you get points. And so then your points add up to either a bronze, silver, gold, or platinum. UNLV has done STARS 2 times, and in 2026, we'll be doing it for the third time. We got silver both times. And so, one of our goals is to fill this out again with the hopes of being gold. But if we're not gold and we get silver again, then we will work towards gold. And what do we need to do to get a gold rating? And so there again, we're not competing against anybody else. We're just trying to improve upon what we're doing. And it's nice to have an assessment system like that because you can see what collectively universities and colleges think is important in sustainability. And that STARS survey covers academics and research, operations, and planning. It's very comprehensive. The other one is UNLV is a R1 institution in Carnegie R1 institution. And so Carnegie is the organization that rates campuses and gives them their designations, right? And so they have some kind of voluntary classifications that you can get. One is community engagement classification, and UNLV did achieve that classification and will be renewing in 2026 to see if we can be classified as a campus community engagement again. And they have a pilot program for sustainability, and UNLV was selected as one of the pilot institutions. So we're one of 23 in this pilot program. And the application is not the same as STARS because it's a more narrative. It's less heavy on the quantification and data and more on the narrative, which is great. And so we are going to be submitting that application here very soon. And then we will know in 2026 if we are a Carnegie sustainability classified campus. If we don't, then we'll just do it again and just keep trying. And again, you can see that you're not competing against anyone else. You're competing against yourself to just slowly improve yourself. For instance, one of the things that we do not have that is we do not have an awards program for sustainability on campus. Seeing that question, we were like, I guess we need to work on an awards program, which is such a good idea because you are recognizing people who are doing sustainability research or who are a leader in student sustainability. So it's just a good way to get people to recognize it's an important part of campus community.
I'm curious with the STARS program, do they share what works? Is there like a lot of cross-pollination, if you want to look at it that way, inspiration from how a program is implemented that maybe is something that could be replicated in multiple places?
Absolutely. Yeah, STARS has inspired, sustainability movements across campuses for sure. So the one that comes to mind for me is Campus as a Living Laboratory. That was on the very first STARS survey, and people were like, "What's this is interesting." So the idea behind Campus as a Living Laboratory is that faculty, staff, and students work with operations on campus to do a service learning project in, say, like an engineering course where the students utilize a campus building to learn. They learn about the HVAC systems and energy conservation and ways to reduce energy by using that campus building as a living laboratory, as a way to find problems and solutions. And that was a lot of campuses were not doing that. And then that STAR survey came out, and all of a sudden, you start to see every year they're becoming campuses as living labs coordinators. Like, the university started hiring people to coordinate that program. And yeah, it does inspire movements on campus for sure. And they're on STARS 3.0 right now. So they do. Each every so often they do upgrade the survey, and so it's a
Yeah, I
great
imagine
program.
there's probably a huge amount of energy savings that's possible with a lot of campus buildings, especially the older campuses that, where they haven't maybe done all the improvements, which they probably have been working on consistently now, but
Oh yeah. Yeah. Your energy bill is always your highest utility on a campus for sure.
yeah. So for other organizations and colleges, what advice would you maybe give students who might be thinking about taking on something similar? I know you've already mentioned that students have a lot more power than they realize. And what are some different ways that, especially for new students, maybe that haven't thought everything out but are starting to realize more things as they study more, what's of interest?
I think they need to realize they have power, and if they think that their university needs to be doing something, if they find other students that agree with them and they start presenting and advocating for solutions, the administration is going to listen. I think it's important not just to advocate for change, but to be present and involved, volunteer for helping with the change, advocating for solutions, not just complaining. Why doesn't my university do this? You need to come with solutions and ideas. I would say approach it in a positive way rather than a negative way. But I think the first step is just students realizing that they really do have the power as the customers of the university to ask for change.
Yeah. Do you, as a sustainability coordinator, have any opportunities or make any opportunities available where you are listening to students, or do students often come to you and talk to you about ideas?
Yeah, absolutely. I love when students come to me with ideas. And I've been the faculty advisor for a bunch of student groups. So they can create a registered student organization that focuses on whatever issue that they are trying to change. And they can use that model to recruit other students and then collectively look for and advocate for the solution. So, we've had many student groups that were focused on the environment, but one of the issues, of course, is students graduate. And so then there can be some turnover. And if, say, that student group solves whatever they were working on, or everybody graduates, a lot of times some stuff like that will end. Right now, we have a student group called Rebel Roots, and they're basically a gardening club. We have a campus community garden, and so they're the student group working on the campus community garden. But I
Excellent.
would love to see an environmental advocacy group come around here this year or next year. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, that's great. So shifting maybe as UNLV's first sustainability coordinator, what were some of the hurdles maybe that you faced integrating sustainability across campus operations, and how did you navigate resistance or competing priorities?
Oh, yeah. I would say I stated that building partnerships and collaborating is very effective. One of the challenges is that when you've built a partnership, you've built a relationship with somebody, and then they leave the campus and go to a different job, and now you basically start over. I would say that is one of the challenges that I commonly face that can be a little disheartening, to be honest. I would also say that a university's mission is to educate and provide career development to students. And so anything beyond that is additional to their mission. And so sometimes getting everyone on board that sustainability is higher education, sustainability is a part of what we should be doing. It can sometimes be frustrating. Like UNLV right now has an interim president, we have an interim provost, we have an interim CFO. So when you have changeover in leadership or even in any part of the campus, I would say that is probably the most challenging thing that I face. Having been here for 30 years, I've been a part of a lot of changeover. And
Yeah.
I get a little frustrated sometimes, but you just got to keep moving on. You just got to keep trying.
Yeah. I would imagine too that not that it's easy to gather that data, but just understanding like the impact that all these programs have had on cost savings and things like that is.
Very true. You can't manage what you can't measure. And honestly, sometimes the measuring part is extremely frustrating. You're right. So we do have to continuously try to work on that and find solutions. And sometimes we don't actually aren't able to measure it. And that is frustrating and challenging.
Yeah. Would you say that what you just brought up is like a common challenge across for all sustainability coordinators, no matter what institution?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No matter what company, organization, institution, yes, I would say that is always a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maintaining momentum can sometimes be a challenge too. And obviously, if you have ability to measure things, you can sometimes use that to keep your momentum or gain momentum, turn slagging momentum around. Yeah.
That makes sense. So, what are some of the ways that you and others are enjoying the rewards of your work?
I I love seeing people get excited about things that we've implemented. I think that there is a case for sustainability to provide employee satisfaction. I'm sure that people enjoy having the ability to recycle at their job or fill their water container. I think that it can also have a part in student retention. Maybe even if you feel good about your institution, you're more likely to be a donating alumni. It's important to have these kind of programs at a workplace and at a school.
I think it's sometimes challenging when you've been doing something for a long period of time to remind yourself of the impact that you've had. It's not like you can see that pile of trash that would have been in the landfill if you all hadn't done what you've done.
I
So,
do see it.
yeah.
My office is in the recycling center, so I do see that pile of trash. Yeah, I like this job because it's a challenge, right? Every day is a challenge. Every day is an opportunity to do something else. And there's a lot of times where I propose ideas and everyone's like, nope, we're not doing that. But you gotta say, okay, let me think of something else. And you just keep trying. And I do love the challenge of it. I do love the ability to think outside the box and come up with cool ideas. Sometimes they don't like them and sometimes they love them. So you just keep trying.
And I'm curious, does the university ever have events where they bring people from outside or in the community for educational events around sustainability or environmental issues?
Yeah, we've had a lot of speaker series that were sustainability themed with where people from the public could come to them or join virtually. And of course, I'm not the one putting those on. Like I know our Lee Business School did that. We have sustainability related research, and sometimes they do symposiums or poster events where they show their research. We do try to do zero waste events on campus a lot, which isn't so the event might not be sustainability related, but there's a sustainability component to it that is tangible to the attendees. Back when Sam Boyd Stadium was our football stadium, we used to have zero waste tailgates, and it was really wonderful to have people come up and just be really excited that there wasn't a significant amount of garbage being generated.
And then, like Nevada Green Business, I'm aware of a lot of their programs. Is there very often a connection between what you are doing on the campus and maybe small to medium-sized businesses or even larger businesses in the community, where they're taking inspiration from what you all have done on your campus or vice versa? Is there an interchange there?
Yeah, I think before the pandemic, we did a lot more community related things. And then the pandemic came and we've been building back up. And we do try to work with businesses. We do have a drive up and drop off program where small businesses utilize it to drop off their recycling because they don't have access to recycling services, either because they're too costly or because where they're located. Back when I started that program in October 98, I remember one time going out there and seeing someone dropping stuff off, and it was unusual stuff. And I was like, hey, where are you from? And they're like, oh, we're from Blue Man Group, and we are bringing our stuff here because the hotel doesn't have recycling yet. And then once the hotel got recycling, of course, they stopped bringing it over here. And so we've had dentist office drop off recycling. It's a good community service project that does support businesses. And do I know who's using it? No, I don't. But I know that there are small businesses using it. And our Christmas tree recycling committee is made up of businesses, governmental agencies, and nonprofits. So it's a really good collaboration. But I think that's how you solve environmental issues is through collaboration. And so
Yeah.
hopefully we've inspired people.
Yeah. I would venture to say you probably did. You've been deeply involved both nationally through the campus Race to Zero Waste and locally through the initiatives with Gilcrease Orchard. How do you balance thinking about like large scale national goals with making progress in your community?
So, a lot of your viewers won't remember this, but there used to be a very great bumper sticker that was think globally, act locally. And that has been my mantra for as long as I can remember. So, you think about the global issues and then you look at what you can do locally to help solve it. And if everybody does that, then, the hope is that we solve these big, huge global issues. And so that's my motto. The other one is never doubt that a small group of committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. You just got to do what you can do. And that's just how I stay motivated.
Yeah, very good. If your ideas, your wisdom, and your experience were all wrapped up in seeds of potential action for you to gift to others, what advice would you give to aspiring sustainability and environmental science students or young professionals who are looking to find opportunities to make an impact in their careers?
Again, go back to the forming relationships, collaborations, partnerships, networking. That's how you solve problems. That's how you advance in your career. That can lead to other things. So they just networking is
And
important.
have you joined any like professional associations, either through, let's say, maybe LinkedIn or other places more local to you that have been a really good way for you to network and form new relationships?
Yeah, there's Impact Nevada is bringing together a lot of sustainability coordinators right now to work on issues. And they're a great organization, a community-based organization. The Christmas Tree Recycling Committee, obviously, there's a lot of us on there that are sustainability adjacent careers. But a lot of it is it. Things will come and go. You'll start and you'll work on something. But yeah, ACHI, obviously, I'm a member of ACHI, which is the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. Then there is the College and University Recycling Council. I'm a part of that. Campus Race to Zero Waste, of course, is a national kind of friendly competition where different coordinators can share information. I'm on some of the listservs for campus sustainability. But yeah, you just,
Okay, nice. And so, as we wrap up, is there maybe one resource or a book, movie, podcast that has been particularly helpful to you?
there are just so many, right? It's really hard to narrow it down to one or two, but I think for understanding like the climate crisis, there's a book called Uninhabitable Earth, and it's by David Wallace Wells, and it doesn't really offer very many solutions, but it gives a really good overview of what we're facing as a planet. And I just want to mention that there's that saying, the hippies were right. One of the things that I feel like the hippies got wrong in the 70s, 60s, 70s, was that they messaged this whole thing as save the planet. And I think it's really important to note that I think the human brain can't really comprehend like how one single person can save the planet, right? It feels too big. I think that what we need to remember is it's about save the humans. The planet's going to keep spinning around the sun. It's whether or not we're on it. And so we don't really need to save the planet. We need to save the humans and the other animals. If you read The Uninhabitable Earth and you're now terrified, another good book is by Paul Hawkins, and it's Drawdown, and it's a comprehensive plan for how to fight climate change, and it has just tons of information in there for solutions. And so I think maybe those would be the two that people could start with, because in the end, we're recycling because it reduces methane. We're trying to save energy, not just for the money part of it, but to reduce greenhouse gases. Obviously, in Southern Nevada, we're trying to save water, and Southern Nevada does a really good job, to be honest. Could we do better? Absolutely. That's the other thing that is a big mantra of mine is we can always do better. Even when you think you're done, you think you've found the solution and you think this is it, you probably can continue to look at it and do a little better. But yeah, I would say those two resources I think are maybe good starting points. There's just so much information out there now.
Yeah, thank you so much for just being willing to share your experience and all that you've done with the UNLV and beyond, and just being willing to stay connected and collaborating with others. I'm sure there are moments where, like anything, you get frustrated and throw up your hands and move to
Definitely.
somewhere else.
That's right. All the time, you gotta talk me down. I'm just like, this is it.
Me and my
It's
wife
over.
would have. Maybe I should have went to live with the
Why didn't I go live with the wolves? Yes. Yeah. I do love wolves though. So
Oh,
yeah,
thank you.
but it's a fork in the road. You take one fork and it's really hard to turn around and go back.
Thank you again. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
If you haven't yet visited your local Green Online Hub, then please visit gogreenlocally.org and check out the directories for events, groups, businesses, online resources, and local support listings for your area. If you find something is missing, then let us know or just log in and add it. These are community free sharing directories.